This is the Global Minority Report, a radio outreach of Thomas Robb Ministries, bringing the good news of God's kingdom to God's special people throughout United States, Canada, the nations of Europe, and wherever their descendants have settled. Thomas Robb Ministries is supported by your tithes and offerings. You can write us at Thomas Robb Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. Your hosts for tonight's broadcast are Pastor Thomas Robb and Rachel Pendergraft. Thank you for tuning in, and please tell your friends about this broadcast.
All right, David, we thank you very much for the introduction. This is Thomas Robb. I'm here with
Rachel Pendergraft.
And we're here in the beautiful Ozarks of Arkansas with another issue or edition of the World Minority Report, the Global Minority Report. And again, I want to remind people, the reason we call this the Global Minority Report is because white people are the global minority. We are about perhaps a little less than 10% of the world's population. Yet in spite of that, we are, our white European countries, even though we're the global minority, are the places where everybody wants to go. We are the breadbasket, we feed the world. We're the leader in industry, we're the leader in agriculture, we're the leader in scientific research, we're the leader in medical research, we lead the world in every aspect, and yet we're only 10% of the world's population, and the world hates us for some reason because of that.
Well, you know, that's absolutely true, and like you say, we are the global minority, and we just want to reiterate that again because it's important that people know what their status is in the world. And if their status is that of being a victim, of being objectified by the multinational corporations, by the political leaders and educational leaders out there that are working to exploit white people and to drain the last dime and the last shred of dignity and to take away their moral compass, then it's very important for people to know just how precious and how few there are of us out there.
Yes, and I want to say that with the power that so many churches have, you got the Trinity Broadcasting Network, you got the Angel One Network, Angel Two Network. I don't know, they might have Angel Three and Angel Four even.
They've got God TV. It's broadcast all over Europe with hip hop Christian. Yeah. How do you can get that?
And yet, none of these preachers, none of these ministers will tackle the issues facing the Christian people of the world. None of these preachers have the guts to talk about the necessity to preserve our white Christian heritage. There's a few small preachers out there like ourselves, but we don't have the big impact that Paul Crouch of TBN has. But there are some others. We don't want to say we're the only ones. There are some others out there, and God bless them all. But we are here as a ministry to minister to God's people of the need to turn back to love our heritage and love our God as taught by Jesus Christ.
Well, absolutely. And the more our people continue to decline in prominence, the more we continue to decline in population, then the more we are giving up our rights. And you would think that one of those rights is to, you know, kind of have a peaceful rest after you die until the good Lord returns. But in good old jolly London there, there's a historic cemetery there filled with Christians, over 350,000 Europeans buried there.
That's a third of a million.
That's a lot of people. Huge, huge number. And the idea of what they want to do with this cemetery is just, it should just startle every Christian person. I know that that it would startle the old-time Christians in London if you talked to any of them 50 years ago. They would just be shocked at the mere suggestion of what they want to do.
Well, they're wanting to excavate all these bodies. They don't say what they want to do with them. I don't know if they want to cremate them. I'm not going to dump them into the sea. But they basically want to remove all these Christians, 350,000. They want to remove them from the cemetery and replace it with a Muslim cemetery. The Muslims are whining that they don't have no place that is special for them to bury their dead. And so I don't know if that means they're dead camels or what, but they want to bury their dead, and they have no place to bury them. So what do you do? Oh, let's dig up all the Christians out of their cemetery, discard them somewhere, and use their cemetery. Rachel, not only are people, white Christian people who are living, being harassed, even when you're dead, they're still after you.
Well, that certainly seems to be the case. And, you know, the cemetery was deconsecrated by the Church of England by Parliament in 1966. Prior to that, it was a concentrated cemetery, which means it, you know, received like a holy blessing from the Church of England. But in 1966, that distinction was removed. And so they believe that that then opens it up for a Muslim use in a Muslim cemetery. But, you know, the people that have their relatives and their families and stuff buried there are, you know, really feel like they're mourning the loss of those loved ones all over again, because, you know, this is still, you know, a cemetery that holds a lot of meaning and respect. And, you know, like you say, it's full of Christian people, and they want to remove them.
Well, one Eastland Londoner says, there's no way we'll allow them to dig up our ancestors. So there are some people over there still angry about it, and rightfully so. And I hope that they stop this. But whether they stop it or don't stop it, it needs to, again, sound the alarm to our white brothers and sisters that they're out to get you. You need to understand that they're out to get the white farmers in Rhodesia. They're out to get the whites, of the few remaining whites in South Africa, who are, many of them are trapped there and being overrun by black crime. They're out to get you. And, you know, as somebody once said, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. Well, they're out to get our white Christian faith and destroy our heritage. And they're going after even these people that have, these ancestors of ours who have passed on, who are now laying silently and motionlessly in the grave. 350,000 of them. They wanted to ruthlessly dig up, discard, and make the place a holy sanctuary for Muslim burials.
Well, like you said, it's just, you know, it's evident that, you know, this never would have happened, and this situation like this never would have arisen if it wasn't for the fact that there are hundreds of thousands, millions of non-white just pouring in to Europe and into white homelands just every year. And, you know, I think it's evident, and if you, you know, disagree with that about what is happening in the world, you can look at Holy Scripture, you can look at the Bible, and, you know, you don't have to take our word for it. You can look at what Scripture have to say about the times that we live in, and about the rise and proliferation of homosexuality, and about the advancement and rise and the glamorous side that is being given toward integration and race mixing. And I want to mention, you know, that, you know, all those things are prophecy. That's, you can just look around you today and see what's happening. Pastor Rob talks about that in his recent book, The Last Church, which, you know, I want to really encourage everyone to get a copy of. You can, you know, send a few dollars, you know, to us to help out with the postage. But it talks about what is happening in these times, the last church. Are you being caught in its web of deception? Is your church promoting integration? Is your church promoting lifestyle that is would go against the teachings of Christ? Is your church standing up for love of heritage and for racial integrity? And if they're not, then perhaps you're in the wrong church, and perhaps your church and your pastor is actually doing the will of someone other than Jesus Christ. And if he is, then you need to get out of that church and try to support, you know, a ministry like this one that's really trying to wake up white Christian people around the world and support people like Pastor Raw.
Well, the name of the cemetery is called the Towers Hamlet Cemetery Park in Mile End, outside of London. So, hopefully they'll put a stop to that. Hopefully it'll help wake up a lot of people throughout England. And hopefully it'll help wake up other people throughout Europe and America as we broadcast this news.
Well, I especially find it ironic because, you know, there have been times in the past where whole industry and whole neighborhoods have been shut down, and construction sites have been shut down just because they find, you know, one or two pieces of bone of some, you know, Indian or some Aborigine or something, and then they declare this whole area to be holy ground, and they'll stop progress that thousands of people are affected by for a piece of bone, but they want to dig up 350,000.
And it becomes an international incident. And I'm going to say most people hearing this are hearing it for the first time from us. This is not an international incident. This is not being talked about on your national news or international news. And yet, like you say, if they find a part of a forefinger from that they suspect might have been from some Aborigine in Australia or from some Indian in America, everything has to stop, and the whole area has been declared a sacred ground. And yet we have 350,000 people that are being talked about being, just the fact that they're talking about, even if it never happens, the fact that they're talking about it shows what debauchery has befallen our nations.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's time for a break. We've got a wonderful song today by Heritage Connection.
Bondage, they're blind and can see. This free Christian people now turns to slavery. Their leaders like Judah sold them for a price to be like all nations who live without Christ. The God of our fathers will heal us again when we look to the scripture and we turn from our sin. His mercy is waiting, his grace to be sold to his chosen people, salvation to show. The God of our fathers will heal us again when we look to the scripture and we turn from our sin.
Well, Rachel, that was great, Heritage Connection. We always enjoy listening to them sing. There's been a news some recently about the lead products or things that containing lead and lacquer and so forth and some of the different toys that are coming from China. And that's alarming a lot of people, and it certainly should alarm a lot of people. But isn't there a greater concern even beyond that?
Well, you know, I mean, I think there is. Of course, I have three kids, at home. One of them that still plays with little toys. You know, I have a daughter that likes the art sets, which is one of the items. I don't know if it was her art set, but I know there was art sets that we recalled here a couple of days ago because of lead paint and so forth. But I think what's really alarming is, number one, is the fact that I don't think people knew how many products were actually being made in China until this recall, until the fact that China has been shown to be slothful and lazy in protecting the environment and protecting the consumers of the products that they make and stuff. I don't really think people realize just how many thousands and thousands of products are being made in China and how it's just, they're just being dumped on the market.
Now, I got a kind of a rhetorical question. All these toys are being made, even, I guess, Winnie the Pooh is being made over there in China, Taiwan, and so forth. Are all these toys, are they all toys that Americans refuse to make? I mean, we're always here all the time that the illegal aliens do the jobs that Americans won't do. So, taking the same logic, are all these toys that are being made, more than 70,000 toys, is JCPenney just recalled, are all these toys being made in China because Americans refuse to make toys?
Well, that's what they like to say, but whether it's, white people here in the United States or Canada or Europe or somewhere, they always come back with the fact that, all these factories are being built and run in these third world countries because, they'll say America, or they'll say, Britain or Germany or so forth, but those are just all code words for white people. Basically, they're saying white people are too lazy to run the factories, and so we have to go to China and Indonesia and Taiwan to have our factories run. Ludicrous.
Plus, they like to pay those cheap wages over there. It's good for the corporate dollar. So when George Bush gets up there and say American corporations, American industry, and they talk about the great profits that are being made, the profits are being made by the corporations, but the man who has to feed his family and bring home a paycheck each week, he's not behind, Americans, he's not behind those factories, working those factories. Those are being done in some foreign country, Taiwan or Japan or China or somewhere, and Bangladesh or some other country over there, India and so on. And so it might be good for corporate dollar, but not good for the American worker. He's not benefiting from the great growth of American industry.
Well, I think that's something that people have to consider and to really stop and think about, because, like you say, they talk about all these jobs that supposedly white people don't want to do, but white people have historically held to a higher standard of living. They have wanted more for their families. They have worked towards more progressive insight in the leading of companies. And for instance, it's the toys and stuff and the lead being recalled because of the lead paint. These are all safety measures and safety considerations that white people work to get into motion, into being an everyday part of life. We didn't want, rot and maggots in our food and in our meat. We don't want lead in our kids' toys. We want a safe environment for our people and for our children. And white people have always been at the forefront of the environment, and that comes into the very building and making of products in our food and agricultural industry. And here we have these third world countries just totally ripping apart the work that we have done as a people to help make the world a better, safer place.
And the world, the international free trade agreements is what's helped make those things possible. You take a company that is based in this country here, who's paying their workers $10, $15 an hour, a decent wage for the day and age in which we live, and they would rather go over with provisions provided to them by this government and go over to Bangladesh where they pay their workers 75 cents or 80 cents or a dollar an hour. Well, this results in huge profits for the corporation, for a business, but it doesn't help the worker any. And so, like you say, white people have a tradition of elevating their lifestyle, living a lifestyle that always being elevated. We can go back to ancient Rome and we can see that. And we don't want to live in grass huts. We don't want to live 15 people in a room. We don't want to drink out of the same pool that the animals urinated in upstream. We don't want those things. We want good clothing for our children. We don't want them running around on bare feet all the time. We want good medical care. So we develop a higher standard of living. And that higher standard of living requires a decent paycheck. But corporations don't want to pay a decent paycheck. They'll rather pay illegal aliens cheap wages. And then they want to whine and carry on and complain and say, well, our food is going to rot on the vine because there's nobody to pick them. Well, there's nobody to pick them because you won't pay decent wages. You'd rather hire a bunch of Mexicans who live 25 in a shanty somewhere than white people who want a high standard of living for their family. They'll rather pay them those cheap wages than pay decent wages. And part of that is because corporations themselves, many of them corporations, find themselves in a vice because of the fact that we are importing so many produce from third world countries at the behalf of this government, which had provided free trade for Mexico and third world countries. In Asia.
Developing nations, they like to call it. Developing at the expense of the people that develop things for themselves. Now they want to develop these third world countries out on behalf or at the expense of the developed countries, and they want the developed countries to reduce their population. It all goes back to the Bible, and people sometimes fail to see the relation between economics and race and prophecy in the Bible and the times we live in now. But you know, the Bible, and like you talked about in your sermon recently, Pastor Rob, the Bible talks about a beast system and an economic system that plunders the world and puts the whole wide world in debt. And we're seeing this with the rise in multinational corporations that have a higher profit margin than the gross national product to some small countries, and they are dictating. They want borderless nations. They want people turned into easy marks and easy slaves and easy employees that aren't going to be able to get any rights or good pay or good salary. And they're doing this by undermining white Christian authority and trying to basically dumb down education and put everyone on an even level so that the beast system, with the support of the churches, can turn us into a worldwide slave class.
Yes, and where are the churches? Again, where are these churches? Where are the Billy Grahams and the Paul Crouches and the other preachers that we see in Jerry Falwell? He's dead now. But the other preachers we see.
His influence
is still being rotting out our country. Where are all these preachers who are supposed to defend the rights of the people, supposed to speak on behalf of the people, supposed to love the people and serve the people as ministers, as shepherds? Because that's how the Bible identifies a minister, as a shepherd. And a shepherd cares and loves for the sheep. But these preachers we see today do not care and love the sheep. And that's why they will not speak on behalf of white Christians, either in America or white Christians in Europe or in Australia or New Zealand or wherever white Christians may dwell. They'll not speak out on their behalf, and they'll just want to speak on behalf of creating a multicultural, multiracial society at the expense of white Christians. And this is why many people in this country and over in Europe have turned against Christianity. They look at Christianity and say, I don't want any part of that religion. It's a sickening, putrid religion that doesn't speak to the heart and the soul of the people. And this is the fact that this fact is what has turned many people and many white nationalists against Christianity. But we're here to say, no, that's not Christianity. We're here to say we embrace you, we love you. Jesus Christ loves you, he cares for you. He said the most important things that you have in your life is to love your God and love your people, and this is what we want to promote.
Well, absolutely. You know, like you said, you know, Christianity is a faith that requires action. It's a strong faith that requires conviction and action and requires you to actively pursue a Christian lifestyle and actively work and search for truth.
And to promote righteousness in government.
Righteousness
in economics. Righteousness in society. Righteousness in our entertainment. A righteous society that envelops the people and cradles the people and leads them to a higher state of development. And
right,
the churches have betrayed that.
Absolutely, because the Bible calls for His people, for our white brothers and sisters, calls for us to glean ourselves and to work and to try to become as much like Christ as we can, and that includes standing up for our brothers and sisters, just like He stands up for his white children, for His family. And if we want to be like Christ, then we need to have racial integrity in our lives. That's just the bottom line.
Well, that's why the Bible said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the Bible also said, the nation that forgets about God will be turned into hell. And our nation was blessed for so many years, and the nations of Europe were blessed for so many years because they maintained a Christian foundation in every aspect of their lives. Now we see an invasion coming upon our nations, our white sister nations of Europe, invasion in Canada, invasion to America, into Australia, New Zealand, and so on. And with this invasion, lowering our economic lives, lowering our standard of living.
It's causing problems in marriages, problems in families, divisions in communities.
Yes, it has. And so we are here to pronounce the need of white Christian revival here in America and worldwide.
Well, absolutely. Each week we talk about issues that affect white people and talk about how they need to put Jesus Christ first in their lives. And if our people ever really want to kind of soar through the skies and really reach that epitome of greatness that our people have always strived for as a people, and that goal-reaching ability that our people and so many white nationalists have always respected, then they need to realize how much greater our efforts could be when combined with Jesus Christ. And that's the issue you always make, Pastor Rob, and one I think so many people really appreciate.
Well, that is the issue. Then the Bible tells us, it says that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Our white nations need to be healed today. We need to be healed from the invasion that's coming in and destroying our people, and destroying our faith, and destroying our heritage. I think it's a matter of record that Christianity can only flourish among white Christian people. And there's no evidence that has ever flourished in any other people.
Absolutely.
I know that they're going to point out some nations over there in Africa and say, oh, look at all the revivals going on. But those people still can't exist without the generosity coming from white Christian people in this country.
Well, I think that's so true. I think it's one of the most important things that all people need to take into consideration. And that is, it's not so much the style or type of government that you might have sometimes, but it's actually the people who are in control of the government, who are there in authority. And when white Christian people are in authority, then just as a matter of natural consequence, because they're following the laws of God, then we'll have a great and glorious government and happy people and families.
Yeah, and I wanted to end by saying, and that means everybody will be blessed. Everybody's going to live better under a white Christian government.
Absolutely.
Whether you're white or not, Africa will live better under a white Christian government ruling over their affairs and helping them out and giving them aid. We are out of time, Rachel. Until next time, this is Thomas Robb.
Rachel Pendergraft.
And we just want to remind you the words of Jesus Christ, to love your God and to love your people.
You have been listening to Global Minority Report with Pastor Thomas Robb and Rachel Pendergraft. The Global Minority Report is a radio ministry of Thomas Robb Ministries and is supported by your tithes and offerings. You can write for a free sample copy of our news and ministry magazine by writing to Thomas Robb Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. If possible, when you write, please include a small offering to cover our mailing expenses. Our address again is Thomas Robb Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. You can also visit us on the internet at christianidentity.tv. Please tune in every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. Thank you for listening, and again, this is the Global Minority Report.